خب صحبت از عزت ملی است.
Speaking of national dignity, the regional movements and revolutions are all related to national dignity. These revolutions from Yemen and Bahrain to Egypt, Libya and Tunisia, and also in other countries that we see grounds are being paved for revolutions, and we will see these revolutions emerging, and the motives have been social justice and freedom, in fact led by Islam. So when we say Islamic awakening, this is a deep-rooted concept, and the Muslim nations are after freedom, justice, popular rule, and also attention being paid to the identity of humans. These have all been manifested by Islam, not other schools of thought, because other schools of thought have failed, and without any intellectual basis, it will not be possible to attain these sublime goals, and such a basis can be found in Islam, and there is Islamic awakening in the region. This is the nature of the movement of Islamic awakening. The Westerners and the governments affiliated to the West in this region want to portray the developments in a different way. They want to inculcate to the public opinion in a different way, but it's of no use. The effective personalities must be aware not to be bypassed. The nations must maintain vigilance not to be bypassed and circumvented. In fact, they have made a major accomplishment, and the political atmosphere of the region has undergone changes, and this is for the current juncture, and in fact, we will have other greater developments in the future. In the first step, you see that the political atmosphere of the region has undergone a change. And to give you an example, I can refer to Egypt. When the people's uprising reached that boiling point and reached its climax, many Westerners and also the dictatorial regimes in the region, they were after supporting and saving Mubarak and suppressing the people. But when the people managed to overcome, the very same powers and the most dictatorial ones and the most humiliated ones in the face of the Westerners, they speak of people's rights. They speak of democracy. This means that democracy today, has turned into something that even those who never spoke of people's rights, they have no other alternative. In order to attract the public opinion, they talk of democracy and people's rights. These revolutions are of great significance. Let me put emphasis on Egypt. Egypt is of vast country, and in fact has an age-old country with its nation. Has been a basic region, an important region in the world of Islam, but the corrupt rulers and mercenary rulers and humiliated rulers, they humiliated the Egyptian nation, and they turned Egypt into, this has been mentioned by one of the Zionist ringleaders, they said that Egypt is the strategic treasure of the Zionist regime. And the Egyptian country and nation, a great, glorious nation, had turned into a treasure for the fake and illegitimate Zionist usurper Zionist regime. And this has been a great humiliation. And you see, this treasure has been taken away from the hands of the usurper Zionists. For 30 years, the Mubarak regime guaranteed Israel's security, and even 1.5 million people of Gaza were kept in a big prison, and the history will never forget these facts. 1.5 million people in Gaza came under Zionist regime's bombardments, and also at the same time all the passageways were blocked by the regime of Hosni Mubarak. And during the course of the 22-day conflict, a Palestinian combatant said in an interview that today, he was mentioning to that day, he said that today 19 days have passed since this start of the conflict, and we have not managed to bring 19 kilos of wheat. We have not managed to bring 19 kilos of wheat from Egypt. People's food, medicine, and other facilities were blocked to Rafah. And 1.5 million people were kept inside a prison to the benefit of the Zionist regime. Under pressure, and they put on the people under pressure, and you see that the Mubarak regime has collapsed, and the Zionists are astonished, and you see they are the Zionists talk of a military strike and so on. These are all indicative of the Zionists' intimidation and their inability to do anything. They know they are quite vulnerable, and if they make any miscalculation, they will see the outcome in the form of a thunder dealing a blow to them. The Westerners and the Americans, who have always supported the Zionists in a full-fledged manner, they are facing profound difficulties and hardships, and they are just trying to save their face, and there are social, economic difficulties, and they don't know how to handle the situation there. There are many governments supporting the Americans. They were collapsed. They collapsed in Europe. And you see that if people have the chance, through their presence, they will eliminate any influence of the Americans in Europe. The nations hate the U.S. The U.S. is facing a crisis, and of course they want to transfer this crisis to Asia, Africa, the Middle East. They want to cover up their shortcomings and weaknesses. They want to cause the new events unfolding in other regions. One of the things they want to do is that they want to make the regional revolutions counterproductive. They want to foment religious, ethnic, and sectarian differences. We should be vigilant. We should be aware and today the Americans are using the British experience in sowing seeds of discord among Sunnis and Shiites. This is one of the specialties of the Britons. The Britons have this specialty of sowing seeds of discord, particularly creating differences between Sunnis and Shiites in the world of Islam. And they have been doing this in the past several hundred years. And the Americans are using the British experience. We have the issue of Palestine, Egypt. And as soon as they face the people's movement, they look for a deceit, for a tactic, and raise religious topics. We should all maintain vigilance, the Sunnis, the Shiites. They should all maintain vigilance, the ulamas, religious ulamas, the academic elites, the people from different walks of life. They should all maintain vigilance, and they should be aware of what they do, and they should be aware of the enemy's conspiracies, and they should not help the enemy's plots and schemes. This is the policy pursued by the enemies today. And of course, what the Americans and the Westerners do are idiotic, and they engage in idiotic actions. They magnified the nuclear issue in order to hide and cover up their own problems. Iran's nuclear issue has been put on the top of the world developments, but this is not the fact, and they are deceitfully using the term nuclear weapons, and they are deceitfully magnifying the issues in the media, and they are after diverting the public opinion from the developments unfolding inside the US and Europe. This is the objective they are pursuing, and they, of course, fail to achieve their objective. And there is a promising future for the region. Egypt has focused on its internal developments today, and this is the nature of the revolutions. There are events unfolding, and these events have to be resolved, and the Egyptians are busy resolving these issues, and in fact this has created a sort of vacuum or opportunity for some governments to interfere in line with U.S. In policies. And on behalf of the Americans, they spend money, they travel here, they travel to different parts, and hopefully the countries where there has been revolutions, particularly Egypt, hopefully they will return to the state of calm and overcome the difficulties. And the dictatorial regimes was eliminated, and hopefully its remnants would be eliminated, and hopefully the people would be able to play their role. And I have to decisively emphasize this point, that in the course of the regional developments, the people of Bahrain have been quite oppressed. They have been oppressed, double oppressed compared to other nations, and in the face of they're facing a dictatorial regime, and they have been the people of Bahrain have been suppressed, and now what are the Bahraini people looking for? They are seeking the most basic needs of humans in a democratic state. This is all what they want. And also they raise the issue of Sunnis and Shiites there. It's not the topic of Sunni or Shiite. In fact, you see, there's a, and by coincidence, we have a 70% majority of Shiites there. So If 70% of them had a different, for example, religion, there would be the same issue being raised, and in fact, the same demands would be raised. And you see the majority of Shiites there, and also they follow the path of Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt, and the people there are facing a dictatorial regime. The Iranian nation countered the Shah's regime, and the Shah used to was apparently a Shiite, and you see the Westerners are after raising religious issues in order to cover up the demands of the people. But all these courageous movements will lead to concrete results. We should be aware of religious and ethnic, and we should be aware of religious and ethnic differences. And this is a point that has to be taken into account, and God Almighty will definitely help. Without any doubt, the future belongs to Muslim nations and the followers of Islam, and the future is definitely much better. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was live coming from Tehran as the leader of the Islamic Revolution. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was paying tribute, giving a keynote speech to tribute to the 23rd anniversary of the passing of the late Imam Khomeini. As the Iranian leader was addressing the mourners of Imam Khomeini's mausoleum, just to remind our viewers, Imam Khomeini, named Ruhollah Musavi Khomeini, was in charge of ending the monarchy of the Pahlavi dynasty. With it ended the power of the Shah of Iran, and was the most influential force behind the Islamic Revolution of 1979, with it creating the Islamic Republic of Iran. As the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was, just to summarize his speech, a couple of points mentioned was that the main feature of the character of the late Imam, as Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei mentioned, was he created national dignity in Iran. The late Imam was in charge of managing this society, believed in God, as Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei mentioned, because the Imam was himself a manifestation, that is, of dignity and self-esteem. He mentioned at that time, before the revolution, the fields of economy, science, and technology, Iran was stagnant because the country was so influenced by hegemonic and colonial powers. However, the Imam's revolutionary literature put emphasis on people and revived the spirit of dignity, as Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei mentioned, but not through selfishness, but created through self and inner spirit of Iranians. As he mentioned, the Iranian nation today is the most powerful tool that greatly influences regional development. He also mentioned that in 2011, Iran has had a 20% increase in scientific status in aerospace, stem cell, nuclear energy, bio and nanotechnology, and the sanctions brought towards Iran against Western countries has only caused Iranians to become stronger and for the country to develop and succeed further. And in finale, he mentioned that the Imam Khomeini, now we're seeing, caused Iran to have no reliance on U.S. and its allies, which the Iranian nation can attain positive achievements and advance significantly towards progress and success. And that's going to end this portion of our live coverage. Do stay tuned in about 15 minutes at the half hour, 11:30. We'll be back with world news. For now, from the capital of Tehran, thank you for watching Press TV.